So this morning, as we begin this series that we're talking about, I invite you to turn in your Bibles with me to Mark chapter 12, verses 28 to 31, and I want to invite Rick to come up and read that for us.
Thank you. Just before I begin reading Scripture, as I looked at this, I thought, in life sometimes, it's about the questions we ask ourselves and others that leads to some significant answers and good answers or bad answers. I'm in sales. I spent a lot of time in sales, and part of the training that I received was when you go into a situation and you come out, and perhaps you've made the sale, perhaps you haven't, rather than say, what did I do wrong? It was always, what did I do right? But what would I like to change? And it shifted the focus from the negative to the positive. In this morning's scripture reading, this teacher of the law had a very good question. Let's follow in again, Mark 12, 28 to 31. So one of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord, our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." God's word.
Well, as you've heard already this morning, we are seeking God for renewal. For renewal in our church and renewal in our city. We're entering a time of vision renewal as a church. Who are we? What is our purpose? What's the point of gathering here? What's the point of being church together? Where is God leading us? What kind of church do we believe God is calling us to be? What is God doing in our city? These are the kinds of questions that we want to delve into over the coming 8 weeks together. We want to share with you a renewed vision that God's been giving us for our church. We've been developing this as leaders, and we want to look at how the Bible informs and shapes and gives direction and starts to flesh out that vision. The vision of Maple Ridge CRC is loving God, loving our city, loving one another. This is the kind of church that we feel God is calling us to be renewed in our love for God, our love for the city, our love for one another. And we will carry out this vision as we grow in making disciples. As we prioritize prayer, as we seek to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and engage our context, as we grow in building community, as we seek to support our families in this mission. And what I want to do this morning as I start, and I alluded to this already, I just want to share a little bit more. So why is it that as leaders we landed on a vision like this? Why this vision for right now? Well, let me share an answer to that question. At the heart of this journey of seeking God for renewed vision for our church, the very heart of that journey is the deepest desire of your pastors and leaders in this church for spiritual renewal. We long to see God revive us as a church. We long to see God renew us and renew this city spiritually, to renew our passion, to renew our love, to renew our commitment, to follow wherever God would lead us, holding nothing back, putting everything in. That is the heart of this journey and this vision renewal. And of course, it comes in a context of our story over the last 8 years. And even before. We've been through a lot together. We've been through a lot of hard things together. We've lost many people that we love deeply. We grieve together. We have wept together. Our hearts have been broken for each other and with each other. We've seen people walk away from this community, and it's been painful. We've lamented and groaned that reality. We've seen plans come and we've seen plans go. It was almost 4 years ago that we stood up here and we were so excited after growing momentum to launch a new vision for small groups in our church. Life groups, communities of people doing life together, living on mission together. And 2 days after we launched that vision, I was taken out in a car accident. It was a hard, long journey for recovery. It's hard on our family. It was hard on this church. What we had hoped for wasn't meant to be. God had other plans. God had detours for all of us. We've looked around. I've seen you do it. Sometimes we gasp at how empty the sanctuary is. We've lamented at how few young adults are here anymore. Where'd all the young adults go? Why'd they leave? You see, it's that context in which this vision for renewal has been birthed. And we've prayed and labored in prayer. We've listened. We've listened to God. We've listened to one another. We've listened to our city and what God's up to. And God, what do you want to do with us? Where are you at work in this church and in this city? And what are you calling us to be and to do? Those are the questions that have been driving this journey. And as we've been seeking God in these ways, our eyes have been opened and we see opportunity all around us. And let me say this firmly, and this comes deep from Randy in my heart. We believe deeply that God is not done with us yet. There are so many people in this city who yet need to experience the love of God in their lives. There's so many lives that need to be touched by God's grace and be healed by that grace. And we've seen God do it. We've seen him do it here every year for the last 8 years in Freedom Session. People have been set free. People have been healed by God's love and his grace. And I look out at this sanctuary this morning and I see some of you, many of you, growing number of you who've walked that journey. You are not the same person you were. God has done an amazing work of healing in your life. And there's so many more people that yet need to be healed by God's love. God is moving. God's at work. As we've been praying, we've seen God bring more and more youth out on Thursday nights. We need more leaders. God's bringing more youth. We've seen God bring more and more boys and girls out on Monday nights. We've seen God bring more and more of our neighborhood out during our kids' camp. If you're like me, you've been stunned at how many people come out for the block party. God's at work. God's doing something. God is stirring. God is moving. And we see a growing hunger for more of God, for more of his spirit to empower us and to lead us, to ignite a passion in our hearts for the mission that God has to renew all things in this world. And we see signs of growth, signs of God beginning to renew us. And our heart and our longing is, God, don't stop. We want more. We want more renewal. We want more of you. And so why this vision? It's a vision of seeking God for renewal. And it starts, this heart cry and this heart desire for renewal starts here with loving God. Let's set the context briefly for our passage. Rick alluded to it, but Jesus is debating these religious leaders and this expert in the law is observing and noticing that he's doing a very good job of answering their questions. So he kind of chimes in with a question of his own and he says, Jesus, of all the commandments, which is the most important? It's a great question. The experts in the law love to debate those kinds of questions. There were, in fact, 613 individual commandments that they had identified in the Old Testament law. 613, and they classified them. Some were positive laws that said, you know, this is how you should live. Others of them were negative. Don't do those things. And sometimes they would debate which ones were heavier and which ones were lighter and which ones were more important. And they sometimes wondered, is there one that would unify all of them? And it's out of that kind of context that this question comes, and Jesus responds, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And any Jewish person listening that day would have known exactly where Jesus went. The words were so familiar, the opening words of what's known as the Shema. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Every devout Jewish person would recite that twice a day. And they would actually take a written copy of it and put it in a leather box and put it on their forehead and their hand as they prayed. And faithful, devout families would put that same scripture in a round box and nail it to their doorpost in their house. It was a summary of their faith. That Yahweh, our covenant-keeping God, is one. Oh, the nations talk of many gods, but there is one God. Only one God, only one true God. He alone is God, and because there's no other, we are called to love him supremely. It's a call to love God for who he is. Not because of what we get out of it. Not because of the benefits he might bestow on us. Not because of the blessings that he might bring into our life, but simply to love God for who God is. And if we're going to be renewed in our love for God, we need to never grow tired of reminding each other of what our God is like. Who is this God that we're to love above all things? Can I remind you this morning of what he's like? He's a God who's slow to anger, who abounds, Scripture says, abounds in love. He never gets tired of showing his love to his people. It's never too late to turn to him. It's never too late to come back to him. He's slow to anger. He's a God who's faithful. He provides time and time and time again, even when we can't see it. He's still taking the broken bits of our life and weaving together this beautiful tapestry. And there are stories. There are stories that are woven deeply into the fabric of this church family. Stories of how God has provided. In times of war, in times of moving to a new country, in times of want, in times of death, in times of loss, in times of disappointment, in times of life detours, story after story fills these pews of God and how he provides, how he is faithful. Church, we need to hear more of those stories. One of the things that we will intentionally be doing over the next 8 weeks is inviting stories, inviting testimonies. If we're going to be renewed, we need each other to be renewed, to remind each other, this is what God is like. God is faithful. God is good. Let me tell you how he's provided. Have the last 4 years been hard recovering from this accident? Absolutely. Has God been faithful every step of the way? He's provided. Let me add my voice. He's a God who forgives. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. Doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. If your heart has grown cold to him, he doesn't treat you as someone with a cold heart deserves to be treated. No, he runs to you, as Randy said. He runs, as a father says, running to a child and says, I'm so glad you've come back. Undeserved, gracious love. He longs to ravish our hearts with his love for us. He's a God who enters into our lives. He walks beside us, especially through the hard things. A God who's with us, a faithful shepherd every step of the way, reassuring us of his love, reminding us of his presence, giving us hope for our future. Through the pain, through the losses, in the midst of our grief, he's a God who stops short of nothing to save us. You've heard me preach this often, but when we come to the cross, aren't our hearts stirred? That God would stop short of nothing. He would give up his life. It's how much he loves you. It's how much he loves this city and this world. He's a God who will walk with us to the very end. And we've seen him do it. Time and time again, as our loved ones breathe their last, as we one day will breathe our last, he's a God who's there to the very end, and a God who will welcome us with great joy into his presence. Not even death can hold back his love for us. He's a God who one day will return on the clouds of heaven, raising our bodies back to life, emptying the graves of our loved ones, restoring this world, putting everything back to right again, ushering us into life on a renewed earth with resurrected bodies to enjoy an eternity forever. This is the God that we worship. This is the God that we are called to love. We could linger here for hours. Image after image from Scripture of what our God is like. Is your heart being stirred? God wants to renew our love for him. This is where it must begin. And notice this is a call. Notice it's a call to love God with all that you got, all that you are. Four times it's repeated. with all your heart. The very core of who you are. With all your soul, your self-conscious life, your spirit. With all your mind, your thoughts, your mental energy. With all of your strength, your body, your physical strength, your energy. This is a love that holds nothing back. Loving God with everything we've got. Friends, this is the path towards renewal. It's not the fresh paint, although the fresh paint is nice. It's not new carpet. It's not new bathrooms. It's not a new name. It's not new chairs. It's not new programs. Though heads up, probably all that stuff's going to happen. The heart of it is our hearts renewed in love for God. If that doesn't happen, renewal will not happen. It's at the very heart of what we're seeking God for. So what does this look like? As I was preparing and studying and reflecting, I came across this beautiful analogy of how, and I guess it's fitting because we just got through Valentine's Day, but it's this analogy of how a man's love for his wife can give us insight into what it looks like to love God in this kind of way. So we don't often think about this way, but I invite you to do this. Would you just take a few moments, and I'm going to put the questions on the screen, and allow these questions to invite you to ponder, what is your love life with God like? What's your love life with God like? Is God the all-consuming passion of your life? Or just a little passion? Do you have a deep, intense, and abiding affection for God, or do you find that affection fleeting and shallow? Are you loyal with an exclusive love for God, that you love him and no other God beside him? Do you enjoy spending time with God, just lingering in his presence and enjoying being with him? Do you intentionally do things to please God and increase his joy? In fact, let me ask you, have you done something this past week? Can you think of one thing you did this past week simply because you loved God? You said, I did this because, God, I just love you. That's why I did it. Are you zealous to defend God's name and his honor? Do you talk with God as much as you can? Do you ever tell God, just, God, I love you. I love you, God. Do you tell him how much you love him? One that I've been pondering and reflecting on and convicted by. Do you love God enough to share his love with others? It's my prayer for my heart. God, would I love you enough that I would just naturally share your love with other people? Let me ask you this morning, what's your love life with God like? If you reflect on these questions, if your heart's anything like mine, then you begin to see, I think, why spiritual renewal is what we're seeking God for. God, please stir us, renew us, revive us. That's our prayer. One of the greatest threats to our renewal and our future is apathy. Becoming so familiar with God that even what we've just spoken out, maybe you've heard all these these ways in which I've reminded you what God is like, and you've thought about these questions, and you're just kind of like, meh, same old, I've heard it before. I've been there, done that. See, our familiarity with God can breed our indifference. And can we be honest with each other this morning? It's so easy to become cold, indifferent, unmoved, unstirred. And to the extent that that has happened to you, would you join us in crying out to God for help? Lord, come. God, don't leave us here. Come and stir us again. God, revive every heart. Come and move us out of our indifference. Ignite the flame of passion for you again. Restore our first love. That is our cry. And then as you stoke that fire, God, throw log after log on that fire until it burns hot and it burns bright for you. And don't stop until it consumes this place. That is our longing. And God, as much as we long for this, sisters and brothers, do you realize God longs for it even more than we do? It's one thing God desires above all things, that we would draw close to him. He longs to renew our hearts. He longs to see his daughters and his sons walk down the driveway coming home again. He's going to bolt down the porch and grab you and smother you with his love and affection and say, welcome home. I've been waiting for you to return. I want all of you, not just a part. Loving God, it all starts here. Loving one another. Jesus continues with his response to the question. The second is this, he says, love your neighbor as yourself. Another familiar passage to those listening, Leviticus 19:18. Everyone listening to Jesus would have knew this one. But here's the thing, at that time in which Jesus was living, for the Jewish people, this was an exclusive sort of love. You see, your neighbor, as they understood it, was your fellow Jewish neighbor. Love those in your tribe. Love those in your community. But certainly don't love those outside. And Jesus had to blow it apart. Which is exactly what he did time and time again. That's why he angered so many of them. He blew it apart with his lifestyle. The people he hung out with were outside the tribe. He did it in his teaching. The most radical of which was his parable of the Good Samaritan, where Jesus totally blows this apart and he declares that anyone in need, even the Samaritan, even the one that you despise, anyone in need is your neighbor. No limits, no boundaries, no exclusion. So again, I ask the question, why is this part of our vision, loving one another? Well, there's two things I want to say here. On the one hand, this is hands down, by far, not even close, this is our greatest strength as a church community. As we engage in this journey of vision renewal, we heard this loudly and clearly as we listened to one another. And sometimes I couldn't help but wonder, and I still can't help but wonder, do we realize that we have something special here? We have something really special here when we do this well. Do you know that? We've seen it. We've tasted it. We've experienced it. We've stood together at gravesides. And we've wept together. And we've brought meals to each other's homes. We've labored in prayer for one another. We've sent cards, flowers. We've made phone calls and visits. We've offered rides. We've shown up and listened. We've cried. The love, the support that we know how to show one another is profound. It's a strength. And it's a strength that we will need to continue to carry with us into our future. Friends, it is the ways that we love one another that have made us such an attractive alternative community. In a society where so many people don't experience what we've got here, do you realize that we have something so special? And this is a strength to absolutely lean into. This is a strength to carry with us into the future. This is a strength to renew. But let me also say something else. It's a tremendous opportunity. What do I mean by that? Just as Jesus had to blow apart neighbor to include everyone, let me suggest that we need to do the same in our church, in our community. Let's blow this wide open. The same love that we show to our church family, the same love and commitment that we have to our own flesh and blood families, the invitation is to extend it outward. Let's find more chairs to put around our tables. Invite more of our neighbors into our lives, into our homes, into our church family. Unless we divide that line, let me just remind us, as Jesus has, who is our neighbor? It's everyone that God's put around us. It's the neighbor who enjoys that distinctive skunky smell and was enjoying it long before it was legal. It's the neighbor that's recently moved from Afghanistan or Iran or Iraq or Syria or even the United States. It's the neighbor that used to attend our church and left. That neighbor, and that one, the other one. It's the neighbor sitting a few pews over that you haven't talked to in a long time. It's a neighbor that you never found the courage to go and meet. It's every other neighbor that God has put into your life, that God has put into this church family. I'm convinced, we're convinced as leaders, that if we lean into this strength, there's so much potential. There's so much opportunity. Could you imagine what impact we could have on our city if we took this strength of ours, if we demonstrated the same kind of loyalty and love and commitment that we show to our families, that we show to this church community, and we extended that to our city? Can you imagine the impact that that would have? It'd be profound. And so I encourage you and challenge you. At your next family gathering, could you find one or two more chairs and invite one or two more people into that special community that you have? There's so many people that don't have this gift. What an opportunity God's given us. What an impact we could have. But notice one more thing. This biblical pattern from Leviticus 19 is to love your neighbor as yourself. To love your neighbor as yourself. What does that mean? In the world of the Bible, in which this is written, this love of self was something that was assumed. It was grounded in the reality that God created us with this natural tendency to care for ourselves. We're made in God's image, and it's a good thing. We're objects of God's love and affection. He's created us. He's redeemed us. We're delighted in by God. God rejoices over us with singing. These are all the things that are true and assumed in many ways. And yet we don't live in that time. And for many of us, we live with this brokenness of self-loathing. Sort of a baseline disgust or at least disappointment, sense of inadequacy when we think of ourselves. And some of us hear Jesus' words and we might even think, look, you don't want me to love my neighbor as I love myself. I say things to myself I would never say to my neighbor. You don't want me to do it. You see, there's a diminished capacity that many of us carry around to think well of ourselves. And I think in this church family, I think it's far more common than we'd like to admit or even talk about. Many of us have grown up with poor self-images. Many of us pick this up generationally, patterns of self-disgust, self-hatred, ignoring your emotions, not being affirmed, Many of us know what it's like to live a life and never really hear from dad or mom, I love you, and hear it in an affectionate way. And this pattern grieves God's heart deeply. This pattern diminishes our capacity to love other people well. It's very difficult to love others well when we think poorly of ourselves. And so for some of us, maybe many of us, the invitation for renewal may lead us down a path of healing and restoring a healthy love for ourselves, a healing and love that God can do and work through his grace. In fact, many of us who've taken the Freedom Session journey have discovered how freeing and how empowering it is when we learn to forgive ourselves. That was certainly part of my testimony going through Freedom Session. To receive the love of God deep into our soul. To heal the wounds of self-hatred. To heal the lies that we picked up and started to believe and got reinforced over years. And I'll be honest, sometimes our good theology reinforced it. You're totally depraved. Yeah. That's true, I guess, but the Bible has a lot more to say about us than that, doesn't it? We're deeply loved. We're delighted in. God rejoices over us with great joy. This journey of renewal for some and many might be a healing journey of learning to love ourselves well. But as we return to Christ's words, what's in view is this natural God-given capacity we have to care for ourselves. And think of how this plays out in many ways. The way you feed yourself. The way you give yourself rest. As far as I can tell, everyone cared for themselves enough to put clothes on. And thank you because you cared for us when you did that as well. You allow yourself to take a break from work. Although some of you need to do a better job of that. Do something fun that energizes you. Right, there's all these natural ways that we tend to show care and concern for ourselves. And it's that sort of environment which Jesus is saying. In the same way you do all that without really thinking about it. As you do those things so naturally, turn that instinct outward towards others. He's saying what we've already been saying in many ways. All those ways that you love yourself so well. There's a world out there. There's other people that need that love. Love them in the same way. John Piper puts it well when he says this. As you long for food when you're hungry, so long to feed your neighbor when they're hungry. As you long for nice clothes for yourself, so long for nice clothes for your neighbor. As you work for a comfortable place to live, so desire a comfortable place to live for your neighbor. As you seek to be safe and secure from violence, so seek comfort and security for your neighbor. As you seek friends for yourself, so be a friend to your neighbor. As you want your life to count and be significant, so desire the same significance for your neighbor. As you work to make good grades for yourself, so work to help your neighbor make good grades. As you like to be welcome into strange company, so welcome your neighbor into strange company. Love others as you love yourself. And the genius of Jesus' answer is the way in which he weaves all of this together into a unified whole. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Love one another as yourself. You can't do any one of these without doing the others. To love God is to love one another. To love one another is to love God. This is where renewal begins. This is the way. May God give us the strength and power by his Spirit to walk in it. But what about loving our city? Didn't you say the vision was loving God, loving our city, loving one another? Why is loving our city in there? To that question, we will return in weeks to come. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for the renewed vision that you have been birthing in this church among the leaders and congregation. And God, as we open up and talk more and explore more of your word around this vision, God, would you do what we've been crying out for you to do for months and months now? Would you revive and renew us? Not just with a vision, God, but would you renew and stir our hearts and ignite our passion and love for you? That we would love you with all that we have, holding nothing back. That we would grow in love for one another. And as you instruct us to do, God, would we not stop here, but would we love others outside this community as we love ourselves? Both corporately and personally, God, would we walk that out? Would you heal broken images that exist in our hearts and minds? That we would have a healthy self-love with the kind of love that you loved us with, God. Would we grow in seeing ourselves as you do? You're astonished with our beauty. You delight and rejoice in us. You're proud of us. God, would we be the same? That we would love well one another as ourselves. And as we lean more into this vision in the coming weeks, would you begin to make it more and more clear to us what it looks like to love our city as well? Lead us forward, God. Renew us, we pray. In Christ's name, amen.